Well, for a couple of weeks, we have been talking, this is part three here, we've been talking about, the name of this series is called The Law of the First. And as I was seeking the Lord about the first part of this year, He began to reveal some things to me in the Scriptures, and like He does to all of us, amen, about some things that are going to start our year out on the right foot. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've had some years in the past where it didn't start out on the right foot. You all know what I'm talking about, and it just kind of went the next month and the next month, you know. But we're going to see some things here that from the Word of God that we've been talking about that will literally transform and change our lives. Amen. It really will. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, you know, Jesus Christ is talking here, and He said this, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or it's the old word for money, actually. You can't serve God and money. "Now therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life," verse 25, "what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or for the body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment or clothing?" And then 26 says, he says, "Behold, the birds of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for clothing? Consider the lilies or the flowers of the field, how they grow not, they toil not, neither do they spin. But yet I say unto you," in verse 29, "that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith?" And verse 31 is another, this is the third time that Jesus mentions this right here. And he says, "Therefore, take no thought." Say that, take no thought. Are thoughts important? Are the right thoughts important? Oh, you better believe it. Amen. I don't know if anybody here has had the opportunity over the past week to watch Brother Copeland's broadcast where he's talking with Carolyn Leaf. Does anybody have a chance to watch that? I'm telling you what, and if you have a chance, go back and watch those archives. They're going to be on this week as well. But she's talking from a scientific view about the power of thoughts and how they control our physical body. Now, it's interesting because right here it says, take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How are we going to be clothed? Verse 32, "For after these things do the Gentiles seek," or the heathen seek. They seek after the things. "Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things." Now, what things is he talking about here? Things that you eat, things that you wear. In other words, the basic necessities of life. Am I right on that? And he says, the heathen, they seek after these things. But he said here in verse 33, here's our main text right here. Are you ready? Put your seatbelts on now. He says, "But seek ye first." Say first. First. See, our subject is called the law of the first. And the Lord directed me as the pastor of this church to start out this year to teach people in this church how to put God first in your life. Many adversities and many problems that you and I face, much of the time, come as a result by not putting God first in our life. Amen? You can say ouch or amen. Amen? But many of the problems that we experience in life, you know, they come as a result of not putting God first in our life. You see, if I don't put God first, then I'm subject to my own wisdom, to the world's wisdom, which leads to nothing. But if I put God first, he says, "I will add all these things unto you." See, God's not trying to get something from us. He's trying to get something to us. Okay? Always remember that. God doesn't need anything. He's got streets paved with pure gold. Amen? He's got gates that are made out of pure pearl. Someone says, wow, the size of that oyster. No, it doesn't. He don't need an oyster to produce that, amen? But you know, the streets are paved with gold in heaven, right? So God doesn't need our money, but what he needs is our obedience so that he can get heaven's resources to us, okay? So I would say this, that, Lord, help me to communicate this morning. Our number one arch enemy that we have is not the devil. He's already been defeated by Jesus Christ. It's not the devil. It's the enemy putting us in a position where we do not put God first in our lives. Okay? Oh, Pastor, you don't know how busy I am. I've got this going, I got that going, you know, and so forth and so on, you know. There's many reasons, but there's really no excuses when it comes right down to it. You know, one thing that's been distributed equally throughout the body of Christ, for every single believer equally, is we all have 24 hours a day. Are you with me now? We all have 24 hours a day, and what we do with those 24 hours will determine the type of life that we're going to live. And why not start this year? Praise God. See, the great thing about God and His love and His mercy is even if you did mess up, even if you did screw up, get it under the blood of Jesus where it's wiped out like it never, and He'll give you a brand new start today. Why beat yourself up? Why be in condemnation over something that you did or didn't do? You know, condemnation is death. And Satan is the spirit of condemnation. And as long as he can make you feel guilty and unworthy, then he's got you in his grip where you're not going to have any confidence, no faith whatsoever. But I'll tell you what, I want to seek God first. And I'll have to be honest with you, I had to do some repenting lately. Brother Keith, Pastor Keith had to do some repenting lately. Say that again, Brother Keith. Okay. Brother Keith had to do some old-fashioned repenting lately because there were some areas I wasn't putting God first in my life. Amen? Well, tell me what that is, Brother Keith. Ain't none of your business. But the enemy, through circumstances, we'll try to get us seeking things first. You know, well, if I just have five jobs, then maybe I could afford to do this thing or buy this thing, you know. And we can get so wrapped up in the natural. Now, God is not against people working hard, okay? But He doesn't want you working to the point where you don't have any time for Him. You're so exhausted. When you come home, you have to just throw yourself across the bed and just wake up for another day. That's not God's best. But if we put God first in our lives, you know, and I was looking, investing, looking at my own heart, some areas like things that I can change and adjust so that I can make sure that my priorities are right, that I put God first. Amen. How many of you know it's easy sometimes to get burdened down with other people's cares? You know that? And as a pastor sometimes, you know, it's easy to get sometimes burdened down with other people's problems. Amen. I'm just telling you where I'm coming from sometimes, you know, because, you know, I get a phone call here and a phone call there and a text here or whatever, you know, and it's dire situations. You know, if I'm not careful, I'll let that care come on me. Okay. And the devil likes to use what I call the pileup effect. Well, he doesn't just come with one problem. He comes with five things at one time and just goes, you know what I'm talking about? Well, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4 that one of the things that chokes the Word of God are the cares of this world. The cares of this world enter in and they choke the Word of God and it becomes unfruitful. But notice in verse 33, Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, let me just say this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That one of the things you have to understand is this. And this will help so many people here. Mind if we just go with the flow here this morning? Is that all right? Okay. You cannot control what other people do around you. So quit trying to control other people. I'm saying this to all of us. You cannot help how someone else does or respond or does things. But here's the thing. You have control over how you respond to what they do. You have control over that. Amen? Somebody can get all ugly with you and, you know, give you a good tongue lashing, you know. But let me tell you something. You still have control over how you respond and how you react to that. Okay? But notice this verse right here. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Say added. You know, God's mathematics are addition and multiplication. Satan's mathematics are subtraction and division. Always remember that. Dear Lord, I didn't know I'd get a math class at church today, but you know. Now remember, God is always, the Bible says God added to the church. And it says right here, He will add all things to you. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed in the book of Acts. Amen. It multiplied. The number of disciples multiplied. See, God is in the addition. He's in the multiplication business. But I want you to look at Matthew. Josh, if you bring up Matthew 6, verse 33 in the Amplified Translation up here. Well, you've been reading this, but I want you to see this because it's really, really good. It says, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Notice that right there. Seek at, aim, strive after putting God's kingdom first. How many of you here would like to have a raise on your job? Okay. How about two raises? Well, how would you like to have somebody give you a check that will literally pay off every debt you have? Amen. Well, that, you like that one, don't you? Amen. Amen. We all do. I want to tell you how to get there. Okay? Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't mean that you go off and, you know, you're a monk and you live in the country somewhere and you ring a bell and you put a black robe on. That's not what that's talking about there. That you quit having fun, that you go live, you know what I mean, in a monastery somewhere. That's a weird misconception about seeking God first. You can seek God first if you're a housewife, if you're a banker, if you're a lawyer, if you're a nurse, you're a housewife. You can seek first the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, what's going to happen is when you begin to prioritize things in your life, and here's I'll just touch on this for a minute here, but here's what we have to understand. There is a list of God's priorities, okay? And a lot of times what happens is people put their priorities up here and God's priorities way down here. But if we put God's priorities and make them our priorities, now, seek first the kingdom. Well, what is a king? What is the kingdom? Well, you know, they still have kingdoms this day. Amen? Over in Africa, kingdom over there. In Europe, kingdom over there. UK, kingdom. United States, kingdom. All right? So when it says seek first the kingdom means anything that the king has domain over. Do you get that? When you seek first God's kingdom, it's anything that we allow the king to have domain over our lives. Amen. And let me tell you something. That's true liberty. That's true freedom. The devil comes, in John 10:10, the thief, the devil comes, Jesus said, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Those three things. The devil's mission is this: rob, kill, destroy. That means anything that robs, kills, or destroys. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. Amen. That's God's will. Amen. Amen. The Lord began to deal with me about this many, many years ago when I was just starting out in ministry, you know. And, man, we had so many needs. I'm telling you, we didn't have enough money to make it through. We are assistant pastors in a church in Killeen, Texas. We didn't have enough money to make it to the end of the month. We were below the poverty level. But you know what? We were in the ministry. That's where God called us to be. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, you don't take a ministry position for money. If people do, then they'll miss it like that. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't pay well. You understand that? But when you first start out and things like that, people have to be willing. There's so many graduates now that come out of Bible school, unless they have their 401k lined up and this lined up and this insurance and that insurance all lined up, I'm not going into ministry yet. Dear God, they'll never make it. They'll never make it. We started out not on the bottom of the barrel. We were underneath the barrel, looking up and saw wood. Amen? But you know what? Thank God we were just in the ministry. We're just glad to be there. Do it. Amen? And there were steps of faith that we needed to take. But we had some serious needs. I mean, we got married in 1982. And so we're living in Texas. And, you know, Lynn, she needed some new clothes. Her clothes were starting to fray and get old and everything. You know, I didn't even think about mine at that time. But she needed some new stuff. And so the Lord began to deal with us about putting God first in our lives, putting Him first. And I came home one day from the office at work, and I walked into our little apartment, our two-bedroom apartment where we lived. And she pulled a joke on me. And she had sprawled out across the bed, brand new outfits, beautiful outfits, several of outfits, you know, across the bed. And she says, "Well, honey, I went to the store today. I used the credit card." She probably saw my face sink, you know. Oh, this is a while back, you know. And this is part of 1984, actually, when this happened. And, well, not too long after that, she began to reveal to me what happened. She said, "Well, let me tell you what happened. They were at the church. We were doing some work at the church. And there was a gal, or a family, a lady that was had a family in the church. And she went out and she bought a bunch of new clothes for herself. You know, they were her size. They fit her. I mean, these are very expensive clothes. You know, I can't remember the name brand, but they were very, very expensive, very classy clothing, you know. Several outfits. And evidently, the Lord spoke to this girl in the church and said, "Those are not your outfits. They're Pastor Lynn's outfits." So she sewed them to Lynn. And I still remember the color, that pastel green look, you know, and just beautiful looking clothes, you know. And, well, I thought she would out and put them on the credit card, you know what I'm saying? And she pulled one over on me that day, bless the Lord. But, you know, and we're nobodies in the church. This is a church of 1,000-plus people, you know. We're just new. We're the new guys on the block. We're just green as anything, new. Don't know anybody. But the Lord spoke to this woman's heart, this precious lady, and said, "I want you to sew that to Lynn." And so it happened to just be the exact same size, too. It wasn't too big, wasn't too small. It was the perfect size. They were the exact same size. Isn't God good? And so that was my first encounter with some things like that. But I began to, because I'd never experienced, I heard about people, you seek God and He'll bless you in the natural. He'll give you things, you know. And here's the thing we have to remember, that when you put your hand to the plow and you begin to serve God, it's going to look like it's not working. You start sowing, you start giving tithes, you start giving offerings, and you start serving God and coming to church and things like that, doing what you know to do in the things of God. It will appear, listen to me, it will appear as if it ain't working. And I'll tell you why. Galatians chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Now that's interesting, isn't it? It says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." Has anybody here ever been weary in well-doing before? You're thinking, "Lord, I'm doing this, I'm pressing this button, I'm doing that, I'm doing everything I know to do. Where's the increase? Where is it at?" I got the answer for you. Don't become weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Amen? What means faint? It means to give up, to quit. Pressure being applied to you. And the devil will see to it. He'll try to put pressure on you and on me. When we're serving the Lord, he's going to try to put pressure on us to make us back off, to say, you know, this word stuff doesn't work. Because the devil will just have you go to any old church, you know, and try to just, it's just religious, you know, it's just, you come in the same, you leave the same. There's nothing, you're not changed by the power of God. But I've decided years ago, I'm going to let the Word of God transform my life and my thinking. Well, it says right there in Galatians, it says, don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. That means you can give up. You can quit. You can get weary. And I've been around this long enough, for 30 plus years, to see people give up and quit and cast away their confidence and throw away their faith. Because of what? Pressure. Pressure. But you know what? Here's what I say. Pressure makes you stronger. If you resist it. Amen? You can walk into any gym in a Pittsburgh area, and you can walk in there, buy all the clothing, buy all the latest Nike stuff and all this, you know, and you can walk around and still be just as weak a month from then. Because weights don't make you strong. It's when you resist them. Do you get that? Pressure doesn't make you strong. It's destroying some people. Jesus talked about the trials of this life come against people, and they're not doers of the word. It says it's like a storm. It just crumbles their foundation. But he said, he that hears my words and does them will be like the man that when the same storm came, he'll be left standing on the solid rock. Because we're not just hearers of the word, we're doers of the word. Are you with me now? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he says, don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Here's another scripture for you. Over in James and also in Peter, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at what? In due time. Say due time. Okay. Now that sort of kind of goes with what we just read in Galatians, that when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says God will lift you up. He will raise you up. James says he'll raise you up, lift you up. Peter says he will exalt you. You know, God is not opposed to you being exalted. He just wants to do the exalting. Are you with me? Now just, I don't have it with me here today, but let's just use your imagination for a minute here. Okay? Let's just say I have a barrier right from this point down that covers this wide of an area, a barrier, okay? And you can't see beyond that barrier, all right? And let's just say I have a real thin string or rope or something that's about this long, okay? And on the bottom of that rope, I tie this microphone on this rope. This rope, this thing at the bottom of the rope represents your exaltation, your promotion, your blessing. And the scripture says that if you humble yourself under his mighty hand, he will exalt you at the proper time in due time. All right? Here's the thing. None of us can determine when that due time is going to be. But we do know this. It's going to come. My spiritual father used to tell me, he says, payday may not always come on Friday, but it'll always come. Amen? Amen? And that's helped me a lot through the years. Payday may not always, come on Friday when you think it's going to come, but it will come. Now, getting back to this right here, this represents your place of exaltation. This represents your blessing right here. And if I have this barrier right here, and let's just say I'm God, okay, you understand what I'm saying, just as an illustration. And every time you humble yourself, now this blessing is originally down here, okay? Your place of exaltation is down there at the bottom. Now I've got this rope. And every time I'm faithful, or every time that I'm not weary and well-doing, and every time that I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, he pulls that thing up a little bit at a time. Okay? Are you with me now? The thing is, you can't see it yet. Only I can see it. Because I would represent God, okay? I see the blessing, but it's coming up. And every time there's an act of humility, every time there's a humbling, every time that there's a submission to God and his word, he starts to bring up that rope, okay? I can see it coming up. You can't see it yet. But here's the thing. At the very point of obedience to God and humbling yourself before God, He starts to exalt you. But you can't see it with these eyes yet. You can't see it with these eyes. But God can. All right? People say, well, God's working behind the scenes. That's exactly right. But He doesn't just always stay behind the scenes. The Bible says He will reward you openly. If to you give to your Father, which is in secret, He will reward you openly. In other words, in front of you, you can see it. Amen? Every time you humble yourself, He starts pulling that string. And before you know it, that blessing is up where all can see it. Can you see that? Praise God. And that's why He said, don't be weary in well-doing, because He knew that we would have an opportunity to become weary in serving God. Is this ministering to anybody this morning?
Yes.
And the way that we become weary is we get our eyes on the circumstances of life, and we think, oh God, how long is this going to take? And the more we talk like that, the more it becomes almost impossible for us to receive. Amen. And you know, you get around some other believers and they start talking problems, and you get around with them, you start talking problems. Before you know it, you're in unity, but in the wrong way. How goes the battle? That's the wrong thing to say anyway. How goes the battle? It should be, how goes the victory? Amen? Because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Thank you, Lord. So, didn't plan on saying all that, but you know, He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. How do you do that? And we said this, you have to first of all locate where the kingdom is. Look at Luke 17 real quick. Verse 20, it says, when He demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Verse 21, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is what? Within you. Within you. Praise God. So the kingdom of, you're going to seek first the kingdom of God. We have to locate where the king is. And He happens, as a Christian, as a believer, He now lives on the inside of you. Amen? Last week we talked, man, please, if you weren't here last week, pick up the CD. They're free. They're out there. From last week, we covered some of this last week about being God inside minded and just how important it is to become God inside minded. So I don't want to take a lot of time up in that area, but first of all, to seek first the kingdom of God, we have to locate where the kingdom is, and that happens to be on the inside of us. Last week we saw, and I'm just going to refer to this because of time here today, but we saw that the New Testament refers to our spirit as the, for example, in Romans 7, Paul says, I delight in the law of God. You don't have to turn there. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Say inward man.
Inward man.
Okay, that's your spirit. Paul says, for this cause, though our outward man perishes or is getting older, he said, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Inward man, notice that. In 1 Peter 3:4, I'll just quote here, Peter said, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. So he uses this phrase, hidden man of the heart. Paul says, inward man. All right. And so we can see from these verses of Scripture right here that there is an inward man, there is a hidden man of the heart, and that is your human spirit. Okay. And your human spirit is where the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. So when he says, seek first the kingdom of God, he said, seek first to build up that kingdom that's on the inside of you. Are you with me now? Now, let's go over and see this today in Luke chapter 10, and we'll probably stop here. But in Luke chapter 10, we're going to look here at an example of someone that sought God first, seeking God first. Hallelujah. Everybody say, seek God first.
Seek God first.
Do you think that's pretty important? Sure it is. Sure it is. You know, I know my life better than anybody else. I'm just sharing with you from my heart that I think we do an injustice sometimes as ministers to just give success stories all the time. Because sometimes it seems unrealistic to folks that are just kind of making their way through and they're just starting out in these things. They said, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do that. You know what I'm saying? But see, that's what I like about Sister Joyce Meyer. You know, I mean, like Joyce Meyer, she is, I'm telling you, what a blessing that woman has been to the body of Christ, you know. And, but you know why people can identify so much with her? Because she talks about her failures. She talked about where she missed it, but she takes you from her point of failure to know, okay, here's what I did to get victory in this area. She was just a basic housewife, you know, and she talks about the chicken story when she's at the grocery store, you know, and you know what I mean? Get a bit, you know, all those kind of stories like that, you know. But people can identify with that to see that, you know what, I don't have to be perfect to get this. All right? I've made plenty of mistakes myself. Not mistakes of the heart, mistakes of the head, like we all have. But the main thing is we try to learn from those mistakes. Grow from your mistakes. Don't condemn yourself for it. Grow from them. And here's the best thing of all. You can learn from other people's mistakes. Yeah. Do you know that? Listen, you don't have to go out in the middle of a highway to realize it's wrong to play in the middle of the highway and get hit by a car. So I learned my lesson. And you're looking down from heaven. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to go out in the middle of traffic to figure out, you know, hey, it's wrong. I finally figured out it's wrong to play in traffic. No. Learn from someone else's example. You don't have to go through the muck and the mire that everybody else goes through. You can read things in the Bible. You don't have to go through what they went through. Amen? And so when we seek first the kingdom of God, we are putting ourselves into a position. Now listen to me very carefully. We only got a few minutes left here. Everybody in this room, you have desires. There's dreams and desires that you have in your heart. And it could be to have your own place, you know, to have your house paid off, to have your car, to have a mate, you know, a husband or a wife, or to have a better job. Or I mean, the list could go on and on and on. Okay? You have dreams and visions. You want to see those things come to pass in your life. I'm going to tell you exactly how to get those things. Put God first. Oh, Pastor. I thought you would tell me something easier. No, I'm telling you something that works, that has lasting results. Lasting results. I have watched God in my life bring my heart's desire to pass in every single area of my life. There are still things that I'm believing God for. But I have watched through the years my heart's and Lynn as well, by putting God first to see things come to pass. Praise the Lord. By simply just putting God first. Amen? And when you start out to do it, let me tell you something. You're going to have every thought. Remember it says, take no thought saying? Every thought imaginable is going to come at your head. That's going to tell you, you're crazy. This doesn't work. You're wasting your time. How many times have you been praying before and the thought comes to your mind, you're just wasting your time right now. Do you think God hears you right now? Huh? Come on now, everybody wake up. You with me now? You give into an offering, and the devil says, well, you might as well kiss that goodbye. That's the last time you'll see that. Now listen, honey, when I plant a seed, if I plant a seed in the ground, it might be out of sight, but it's not out of my life. When I plant that seed, it's temporarily out of my sight. But let me tell you something, Jose, it's coming back way bigger than that seed was planted. God set up the system that way. When you plant a seed, no matter what it is, whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. That's what the Bible says. It will come back. Amen? And the beautiful thing about it is the nature of a seed. A seed doesn't come back just as a seed. You plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree with hundreds of apples, with thousands of seeds. Eventually, you can put orchards in every state out of one seed. Think about that. Who set that up? God set that up, right? So the key to our lives and victory in our families, in our relationships, this is really important, folks. Listen, husbands and wives. Do I got your attention?
Yes.
Husbands and wives. If you want to be the man or the woman that of your dream that God wants you to be, put God first. Put God first. Amen? I can't be the husband I'm called to be to this wonderful person here. I can't be the father that I'm called to be to my children. I say children, Josh will be 25 Thursday, but you know. He's still my kid though, I don't care. You know? I'll still kiss him when they're 35 years old, and I don't care. Man. I love those kids, man. Just when I grab them and hug them, amen? Are they perfect? No, but I love them. I love them. Hallelujah. Where am I at with this? I can't be the husband or the father or the pastor that I'm called to be unless I'm putting God first. And there have been times, like I said, in my life where I've got so busy and burdened down sometimes with other people's problems. Now, don't take that the wrong way. Don't say, I'll never call Pastor Keith again. I'll never, because I'll be putting burdens on him. Don't think that, okay? Let's just head that off at the pass, all right? Praise the Lord. I love to pray with people and believe God with people. Amen? But see, there are times that I've let the burdens of things come on me, and I've got my own things I'm dealing with, and you get 15 other people that you're dealing with to, you know what I'm saying, through the years. I'm not saying right now. And then you let that pressure on you. And then all of a sudden, your hands get weary and you stop praying like you need to with fervency. But let me tell you something. That's out of the way, bless the Lord. Amen. But I can't be the husband that I'm called to be to this woman right here. I can't be the father. I can't be the pastor that I'm called to be if my priorities are messed up. I can't be effective. And the Lord said out years ago, He says, I don't want you to be a good husband. I don't want you to be a good father. I don't want you to be a good pastor. He says, I want you to be an anointed husband, father, and pastor. Because what's the anointing? Yoke destroying, burden removing, power of God.
Amen.
Amen. And I want the anointing. When we walk into here Sunday morning, see, folks, it won't be long till we're busting out of this place right here. We're already 80% full here. You know that.
Amen.
It's time for a new place.
Yes. Yes.
Time for big. Bigger. Bigger. Time for the next phase. Time for expansion.
Yes.
Time to make room for more people.
Yes.
At the first of the year, I felt like God had His big arms out. And He says, Keith, I want to gather more people into my house. There's more people that I want to bring to me. And how does He do that? He does it through us. He does it through the church. Hallelujah. It's not a building campaign. It's not trying to get numbers. It's about people. It's about souls. It's about lives that matter. You matter, don't you? Oh, you're important. You're very important. But you know, there's 50s and hundreds and thousands of other people out there that need what you and I have.
Amen.
Somebody told me not too long ago, they said, Brother, I don't know where I'd be without the messages I've heard here the last few years. And I just said a tremendous sincerity in their heart. I don't even know when I think where I would be had it not been for the life-changing messages that I hear when I come to church. Amen? It's like throwing someone a life preserver and they're ready to go under. They're out in the middle of the ocean. They're ready to sink. They're ready to go under. And we throw them not just a life preserver. We throw them the Word of God and we pull them in to safety and refuge. Are you with me? I know I'm kind of going all over the place here, but God's heart is He wants to just pull people in. Amen? If you stay hooked,
yeah, that's the key,
and stay faithful,
that's it.
Amen? And you write down Sunday morning, where am I going to be? Church. Going to be, because that's part of seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, that's not to say that you can't go somewhere and do something. I'm not saying that at all. But notice this in Luke chapter 10, and we'll close here. It says, And it came to pass that as they went, they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him, Jesus, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which, notice this, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So you got two sisters here, right? These are the sisters of Lazarus, by the way. And so you hear verse 39, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet hearing the word. But verse 40, but Martha was troubled about, cumbered about with much serving, and came to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Bid her, therefore, that she come and help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Now, when God calls your name twice, you're in trouble. When I was a kid, my mother, she would call me by my first and middle name. And she must have been on drugs when she picked my middle name. No, I'm just kidding. But remember Johnny Cash had that song, A Boy Named Sue?
Yeah.
Remember that? Well, that's about all I'm going to say there. Okay. Anyway. That's none of your business. I know you're curious. I know you're thinking, what the heck is his middle name? My point being is this, is if Jesus called her name twice, he said, Martha, Martha. He said, notice this, he said, you're careful or troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken from her. Let me quote, we don't have to turn there, but the Message translation says, Martha, dear Martha, you are fussing far too much about getting yourself worked up over nothing. Only one thing is essential. Mary has chosen it. It's the main course, and it will never be taken away from her. Amen. Praise God. Now, this is interesting because here you have sisters here. Doesn't say their age or anything like that, but they're obviously sisters. They have a brother named Lazarus as well. But here's Jesus coming into Martha's house, and Mary is there, and they're wanting to prepare a meal for Jesus. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Now stay with me on this. And then Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening intently to what he was saying. Everybody say wise choice.
Wise choice.
Okay. So you're coming today, you're sitting at Jesus' feet hearing his word. I'm not saying I'm Jesus. I'm saying we're sharing his word. You understand that? Sometimes you have to say that because people say, he thinks he's Jesus. No, I don't think I'm Jesus. You know, he lives in me, but I'm not Jesus. But we have his word. Are you with me now? Martha is in the kitchen trying to prepare whatever it is, and she's getting huffy about the fact that she's thinking, you know, Mary's just flat lazy bones. She's in there sitting doing nothing. She thinks she's doing nothing. And she's stewing over this thing in the kitchen. She's like, oh, I've had enough. Just think of it. And she comes waltzing in there. I mean, she comes walking in there. And she says, I could see her with her hands on her hips. I don't know why. I can just see that. Just an attitude. Jesus, tell my lazy sister to come and help me in the kitchen. She is thinking he is going to justify her and get on her side and say, Mary, quit wasting time. Go in there and help your sister. And, I mean, she got caught off guard. Amen. And Martha got a rebuke from the master. Amen. Now, if the Lord rebukes us, it's for our good. Amen? Amen. I've gotten a few of those through the years. Amen. But it's not to hurt us. It's only to help us. Amen. See, the Lord, Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he corrects, right? But see, he's not mad at us. He's not beating us over the head because we miss it. He's trying to literally help us because he loves. He wants to see things go better for us. Amen. When I say people seek first the kingdom of God, people look at that like an enemy. Like, are you kidding me? I'm so busy now. I don't have time for all that stuff. Okay, go ahead and suffer then. get sick, get broke, never get victory. That's exactly what's happened. When we throw the word away, that's we're saying, okay, curse, come on us, you know. But if we put God's kingdom first, amen, and if we keep his kingdom a priority in our lives, we are setting ourselves up for blessing. And he said, Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the best part, the best dish that'll never be ever taken from her. Hallelujah. All right, I wanted to close with this today because here's a prime example of someone that comes from the same family. It's amazing how you can come out of a family and siblings can be completely different. Values can be totally different from one sister to a brother, how that they value, one values something, the other doesn't value something. How many know what I'm talking about? How many got some kin folks like that? They don't value what you value, you know what I'm saying? They kind of despise it in a way, you know what I'm saying? They don't see the value of it. People, they don't value the time in church like today, hearing the word of God, how important that word is. Praise God. But any time that you're sitting, notice here's her posture. Mary is sitting, listening intently to the Master, Jesus Christ, that's going to change her life. And when you value what you're hearing and you hear the Word of God and you sit down with your Bible and you put on that tape or that CD and you listen to the Word of God and that comes in your ears and down into your heart, what's going on here? You're putting the kingdom of God first. You're putting the kingdom of God first. And I don't care if it's 10 minutes a day, you start out where you're at. I mean, you'd be surprised what... You know, God's not hard to please, folks. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's not like the Egyptians that had the whips and cracked the whips on the Egyptians' back, made bricks and mortar and slime and all that garbage. You know what I'm talking about? That's what the Bible says. God's not like that. If you take a couple of minutes and you're at the feet of Jesus and you're hearing his word and you're just thanking him and you're worshiping him, oh, I love to get up first thing in the morning, get down there, get on the floor, turn that little heater on, and sit next to it. Father, I'm just here today. I love you. I worship you. I thank you today. There's something about when you do that, how it will set your course for the rest of the week, for the rest of your day. And then you'll be going in his strength, not your strength. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I wanted to share this with you here today because we're done here this morning, but... I think every message, every good message is going to have a point of challenge. And I, some of the things that I shared today were, I know, a challenge to a lot of us. Like, wow, you might seem overwhelmed. Are you with me? Everybody smile now, okay? You might seem overwhelmed, but let me tell you something. From this moment forward, what is today? 18th. January 18th. It's still the first of the year. First part of the year. If you decide today, I am going to put God first in my life, you are setting yourself up for promotion, for increase, for blessing in every area of your life. Amen. And you stay the course. The Holy Ghost will help you stay the course. He will help you. This is not just you and your own effort trying to do this. He will help you to stay the course and to stay steady, to stay on track, to stay faithful. Okay? And as you stay faithful to him, you watch him begin to lift you up. You watch him begin to exalt you. And I say this by the word of the Lord. When you do that in this church, there's going to come some powerful testimonies from your lives, your families, from you individually. That you know, God did this. Amen. He doesn't want you out there rolling your sleeves up, working your finger to the bone. No. He wants you to put him first in your life. I didn't say quit your job. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying put God first and let him bless the rest of your day. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Every head bowed, every eye closed for a minute here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you know, it's not easy to share some things like this sometimes. But it's necessary. Hallelujah. What's the word repent mean? It means simply to change your mind. It means to think differently. That's what it means. That's all that word means. Is to change the way you think. Go in a different direction. And today the Holy Spirit is admonishing us to draw near to Him. To draw near to Him in our prayer life. Now I'm going to pray. Lynn, would you come up here and just join hands with me? We're going to pray over each and every person here. For your prayer life to become the most blessed thing that you have ever experienced. And I don't care what, I mean, listen, I started doing this when I was a teenager. I didn't know a whole lot, but I'll tell you what, I was a teenager. I started seeking God first. Oh, I had my doubts. I had my thoughts. I wonder if this is going to work. But I can testify to you, it worked. Was I perfect? No. Made plenty of mistakes, sure. But the Lord knew my heart, and He knows your heart. And today is a brand new start, a new dedication to earnestly put Him first in your life, the most liberating thing that can happen.